Thank you so much, Duncan. I went for a haircut in November, nearly a year ago. And it was kind of like, there was a year ago, we were kind of coming out of lockdown again. And my app actually wasn't working for the place where I normally go to get a haircut. So I was driving home, and I was passing a barbershop, and I thought, it was almost like the car turned by itself into the car park. I walked into the barbershop, and I wasn't thinking much. I just said to the guy, "How are you?" And from behind his face mask came this absolute exclamation of, "I'm absolutely great, thank you very much." We spent the next hour actually unpacking that his life had completely unraveled and there were many issues in his life. I kept meeting this guy. We exchanged details. And in July, we had lunch together. And he leaned over the table and he said to me, "Paul." And I'm like, "Oh, if somebody says your name, you know, here it comes, right?" He said, "If anybody would ask me, I think I'm a believer now." He'd been on a journey those 7-8 months to find God. And I didn't explain the gospel to him. I just got him to sort it out for himself with a bit of help and some questions. And oh boy, was that a freeing experience. So I want to talk about something called Acorn tonight. And this thing has changed me. And not just me. You're going to hear some stories tonight of people who will say, "Wow, I didn't know that it could be this simple. I didn't know that actually mission is just so much fun." I heard an older lady say 2 weeks ago on Zoom, she said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. At my age, God still wants to use me, and perhaps now more than ever." So if you were here this morning, I already said some of these things, but I'll say them slightly differently. So my apologies if I repeat myself. That's the title for tonight, Evangelism is for Everyone. And you might be like, "I'm not an evangelist." Join the club. I don't think I'm either. However, connecting with people and faith really is something that we can actually all do really simply. And I think I've been getting it wrong. So God tells us to, Jesus says it to disciples, right? If that passage that we just read in Matthew 28, if we put that into one word, probably the word that most of us would go for would be the word go, right? Go. Go and talk to them and make disciples of all nations. And for years, I've been doing work in churches and organizing festivals and all kinds of things and trying to connect with people about faith. And I'm wondering, hey, where's God in this? I mean, I believe that I've been told to go and the authority has been given to him, so this should be easy, right? And then it turns out that it's actually really hard. And then at the same time, you're wondering, "Lord, why are you not helping me here? You wanted me to go. Where are you?" Right? And then perhaps at times you feel that God has sent you to go and make disciples. So you get this pitch where you feel like you need to explain the gospel to people. And they're absolutely not interested. You know, no doubt we've all got family members and neighbors that we just know you pretty much just can't talk to them about faith because they are just not interested. That door is closed. So what we do as churches is we find ways of connecting with people, and often this is through all kinds of blessing. And some of these ministries are absolutely great, you know. I know that there's a listening ministry here at the church, wonderful. And there are many food banks, and there's Blythewood, wonderful, wonderful. But often it is still a moving towards or an inviting in. And in my experience, if we're not careful with this, it can be seen as, oh, look at how good the church is, right? And sometimes that imbalance, whether it's true or not, that can be perceived. So tonight, I just want to show us a different way to do mission. Ian, can we play a wee video? So folks, just to say for tonight, it's going to be interactive, okay? So it might be a little bit different than your usual Sunday evening service. Bart, would you be willing to join me? So folks, you might have recognized some of the faces there. That video is about 2 years old, actually, and Fiona was there as well, and she often comes here to the service as well. And Bart, we saw you there as well. Right? So, thank you for being here tonight.
It's good to be here.
Great, great, great. I remember, Bart, that we had a conversation. This is about, well, it's well over 2 years ago, I think, probably closer to 2.5 years, where I said, I found this thing. It's called Acorn. Do you want to try it with me? And I think you were highly reluctant to start with, as was I. But can you maybe tell us a little bit about what you found about Acorn or about God, why this works?
Well, I thought it was too simple. I'm a Rev, ordained and all that. And I was told all you have to do is get the phone and think about somebody who doesn't go to church and ask them how they are. And I thought, what's behind all this? And I was skeptical. Maybe that's the way I am, or maybe I just don't like change. And this seemed like change. However, I was thinking about this, and I don't know how I found it, but I found it in my Bible. Paul was speaking to the elders in the ancient city of Ephesus. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 20. And now, compelled by the Spirit, and he's speaking to the church, or to the elders in Ephesus. They all came down to where he was at the seaport. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, again, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. And this is the verse that got me. Hardships and prison are facing me. He knew that. However, he says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My life worth nothing to me if only I may finish, and I'm 92, and only if I may finish the race and complete the task. What task? Who likes a task? Well, if we're children in the house of God, every household has tasks: washing the dishes, emptying the trash bin, hoovering the floor, and shopping. Those are tasks. And Paul, in other versions, it says the ministry, which sort of isolates us from the task, because we think ministers do ministry. We don't do ministry. But the word task and ministry are interchanged here. He says, if only my life is nothing, worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The Lord Jesus has given me a task. The task of doing what? Testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Wowee. And that really got to me. This Acorn business is an opportunity to testify to the grace of the glory of God. It isn't just something that Paul dreamed up or that somebody else dreamed up. But it's another way of doing what God wants us to do, to testify to the gospel of God's grace. I like to walk, and well, does that answer your question?
Great, Bart. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you were just starting a story there, right?
Well, I like to walk, and a friend of mine and I were out walking along the Conan River, and it was a beautiful day and peaceful. And we've been friends for something like 20 years. And we don't talk about religion. He'd prefer not to. And I say, okay, we'll be friends and good friends. And we were sitting there on a bench just in the quietness of the river. The river was just beautifully peaceful, flowing along in its rich fullness. And I thought about that hymn, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. And I just had this strong urge, Holy Spirit urge, I think. And I said to him, you know, the first line of a song I know goes like this, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. And I just felt stunned by the silence. He didn't say a thing, nor did I for once. And then after we sat there in silence, he got up to go and we went. And we walked along in silence for quite a while. Acorn. I didn't phone him up and say, how are you? I know him too well to do that, although that's got its place in everybody's life. But that was, to me, God speaking to that friend and to me, shut up, Bart Buell, just be quiet and let me get on with what I'm doing in this man's life. The task. I wasn't thinking about how can I fulfill the task Jesus has given me when we were walking. I was just enjoying his company, enjoying the beautiful scenery, and it just came naturally. It isn't always like that, I know. Sometimes you have to grab the phone. You think, well, I wonder how so-and-so is. And so you do grab the phone and say, hello, how are you? And if you're listening carefully and God wants it, they may say something that opens the way to move in, to talk about things like God's grace. Because everybody longs for favor. We all long for a favor that we don't deserve or merit or can even achieve.
Thank you, Bart.
God's grace. That came through when I said, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace.
It's wonderful that you're saying that he might not be a Christian, I might be, but he can experience God just as much as I can.
Yeah.
That's a really important principle, I think.
That's the task. What a task.
Yeah.
As Paul's already talked about, working, being there to be used by God in whatever he's going to do in somebody else's life. And then, I don't know, is this a point to tell another story?
If it's a brief one, please, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I have three daughters. Two are here in the UK and one's in the States. And the one in the States was over a couple of weeks ago and spent a fortnight with my two daughters and me. But before, she doesn't go to church anywhere, bless her. She's got a partner over there in the States, and he's done her a world of good. He's shown her how she can be herself and still be loved. Anyway, she came to visit, and before she came, she said, "Dad, in the loft, there's a box, and there's lots of boxes in my loft." So I went looking through all the boxes, and she wanted a pair of boots that she had left when she went over there 20 years ago. So she said, "If you could please get them out and bring them to Aberdeen, and leave them with my big sister Mary when you go over to meet me off the plane in Aberdeen." Okay, so I got the boots. And in the box were a lot of old cosmetics and a Bible. And I thought, oh my goodness. Anyway, I got the boots and took them over, and then she came back here with me, and I said, "You better get up there and look in that box in the loft and bring it down. I can't, I'm too ancient to pull that down, so you better go up and have a look." So she did. And she emptied it all. She had the boots on or something, and she got we threw all the cosmetics away, too old to use or to give to anybody. And so, okay. Well, she left me to take the bus back to Aberdeen to get on the plane to fly away a week ago Sunday. And I went into the spare room where she was sleeping. I had been. And I thought, I wonder if she's left anything in that box. No. I've been praying for her for nearly 50 years. And she took the Bible home with her to America. And that to me is just, it's not saying, "How are you? I know how she is." But that God is working in her heart. We have a lovely relationship. When she went over there, a guy whose wife had left him for nobody else, and Helen, my Helen, had been divorced. She'd been married to a guy for 10 years who drank and gambled, and they separated, they divorced. And she was working in a pinball machine kind of place in the city, Great Falls, Montana. And this guy, she phoned me up one day and she said, "Nick wants me to move in with him." And she said to me, "I'll be living in sin, Dad." And I said, "Well, sweetheart, you said it. And you know where I'm coming from." And he's done her a world of good. He's taught her what so many of us need to know, maybe husbands, wives. He's taught her that he'll love her just as she is. She doesn't have to change. And that openness is there, always has been. And I can only thank God for that, father, daughter, and that she took her Bible with her after all these years. God is at work in people's lives, in our families' lives. Anyway, I've talked long enough, Paul, yeah. So.
Thank you, partner. That's so rich. It's just so good to hear that. Would you be willing to pray for us?
Yes, yes.
That we may hear God's voice, yeah.
Lord, we thank you for the wonder and the joy of the task that you have given to us who know you and love you and are washed in the blood of Jesus at the cross, and who are therefore clean in your eyes. How can we thank you enough? And we must say, Lord, that we're debtors to mercy, of covenant mercy, the songwriter said, of covenant mercy I sing, nor fear with his righteousness on my person and offerings I bring. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. Jesus, my Savior, through his obedience and blood, has hidden all my transgressions from view. And now, Lord, the task you give to us is to go and tell others that we can be forgiven and cleansed and made new through the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood that Jesus shed. We thank you, Lord, for this task to go and tell about this grace that is greater than all our sin. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And all that is your grace, Lord. So help us who know you to realize this is a task to tell others, to share with others this grace, this favor from God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and us individually. A grace that being saved from sin and self and hell and Satan and all the rest. Lord, give to us a new, fresh understanding and appreciation of what it means to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and so to be made precious children of the living God, those in whom you take great delight and joy. Lord, help us to fulfill the task of telling others, testifying, that's what the word says, to testify to your grace. And Lord, give to us this awareness of the wonder and the awe of what Christ Jesus has done for us. And at the same time, Lord, help us to be winsome, perceptive, and quiet, prepared to listen to those whose hearts are aching through whatever, for whatever reason. Make us your ambassadors, Lord, your acorns, if you will, that when we pick up the phone to say, how are you? We're listening to see how you're working in their lives, Lord, and to just take it a step at a time, guided like Paul was by the Holy Spirit. So help us, Lord, as we think tonight about reaching out and simply saying maybe, how are you? Reaching out to those around us in our families and in our places of work, in our neighborhoods, in the places where we shop, where we do all the ordinary things of life, which is where you're at work, Lord. So we ask for your help and your grace to do this task with a sense of wonder and awe, not just out there doing it, lifting the phone and saying, how are you? Because that's what you do when you do Acorn. Help us to get away from that kind of thinking, Lord, but to go with the thinking of the Savior himself, to touch lives at the deepest place and the darkest places in their hearts. So, Lord, help us tonight. We've heard, we've thought. You know each one of us, and simply we ask you to touch us all again in fresh ways. Make us men and women, young people, who reach out in love to share in that grace. And if we don't know about that grace, if there's anybody here tonight, Lord, who doesn't know about that grace, then it won't do any good just to say, hello, how are you? But may it be a God-given task sent from heaven, from the Lord Jesus, to say, how are you? With a view to touching Barbara's lives, touching daughters' lives, touching friends' lives. We ask it all, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Bless these dear folk gathered here tonight, Lord, all of us together. We ask it for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
That's kind of a long prayer, Paul, but I got kind of carried away.
Thank you, Bart. So that's great.
Excuse me.